for listening to Kinetic Podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to those who work in children's ministry and those who are committed to reaching this current generation. We hope what you're about to hear inspires and challenges you to be more effective in reaching kids for Christ. Thank you and enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to Kinetic Podcast. My name is Josh Combs. I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. We have a great, great episode planned tonight. We have two awesome speakers, two amazing kids evangelists that are going to be speaking to us tonight and just sharing their heart and their vision for kids ministry. Our first speaker tonight is Brother Tim Rimmer from the great state of Tennessee, and that he's been evangelizing for at least 7 years, for the past 7 years. Him and his wife just recently took the leap to go full-time in kids ministry. He's known as Daddy to his 4 kids and as Poppy to his 3 grandkids, and he has an awesome love for children and for ministry in general. So, Brother Tim, thank you so much for being on the podcast tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, no problem. It's an honor to have you. Tim, just kind of share with us a little bit about your ministry, what your passion is for kids ministry, and just kind of how you got involved in kids ministry.
Sure. Let me just say again, Brother Josh, thank you for the opportunity to be a part of the Kinetic Podcast. I've actually listened to all of the different interviews in the past and have thoroughly enjoyed them. So having said that, I don't claim to have all the answers. So I really enjoy programs like this one to help prepare us for our journey. One of the big things that I think that you need to do to get children excited and engaged in kids ministry is involvement. If you get a kid involved, I mean, they love to be called up to the platform because you never know what they're going to say. That just adds element to the service. They'll come up and you'll use them and whatever, and you'll ask them just answers. And it's just, you know, you got to have just a little level of comedy in your service. During our services, I like to have audience participation as much as I can. I use a couple of our object lessons that I'll dress kids up in costumes. Other times I allow them just to help out with the lesson. You know, if I'm doing an illusion or something and I need them just to hold the prop or whatever. It makes them feel that they're involved and they're engaged in and helping out. So it's always good just to allow them to be involved. Further than that, somewhere close to the beginning of a service, and usually the first night if it's a multiple crusade, I'll give them things to say. Like, if you hear me say salvation, I tell them, I say, every time I say salvation, I want you to say, ooh, I want that. And so it gets them to listening. They're sitting there the whole service on the edge of their seat just waiting for you to say salvation so they can shout out, ooh, I want that. And I'll do the same thing for sin. Every time you hear me say that old dirty word sin, I want you to stomp your foot and say, get down, devil. So Involvement like that, not only are you getting just one or two kids involved, you've got the whole congregation listening for those words. And you know they're getting the word if they're listening for those words. They're hearing every word you say. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. And I love that you started off with that tonight, just kind of talking about, you know, getting kids excited, you know, and involved and engaged. And I tell you what, Tim, let's just back up for a second. Kind of share with us how you got into kids ministry. Kind of take us to the beginning and how that ministry was, you know, because I know all of us kids ministers and everyone in ministry in general, but I know kids ministers especially have a special story, you know, or just kind of a beginning of how they were brought into kids ministry. So just share that with us, how that happened.
Sure. For me, I started out as a secular clown. I was doing birthday parties, company picnics, going out on weekends, making balloon animals at restaurants and stuff. And our church, you know, one day seeing that was having a harvest fest, and they said, we need a clown for our harvest fest. And my wife just somehow volunteered me and said, oh, Brother Rimmer can do that. He'll dress up like a clown and make balloon animals. I'm like, okay. And from there, it just kind of snowballed. I continued to do Sunday school and have, you know, make balloon animals for the kids. It just kind of changed the purpose of our ministry altogether from from being a secular to a kids ministry. So wow. That we were making, you know, birthday parties just wasn't all it was about anymore. It was more about salvation and giving kids involved in church.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And, it's pretty neat, like what you said, you know, how God took that talent. You know, obviously you weren't doing, it wasn't something that you were doing something wrong with it at all, but God took that talent that you had, and, you know, he turned it to even more for his glory. So that's pretty awesome. That's incredible. You know, Brother Tim, I've had the privilege to witness you and your family in action, and you guys do a great job. And like kind of what you explained to us in the beginning, you know, you like for the kids to have fun. And, you know, as a kids minister myself, I think it's important, you know, obviously it's important that we preach the word of God, but we want kids to have fun. You know, we don't want them to be bored out of their minds because, you know, we're not going to get anywhere with that. So just kind of give us some insight to, you know, whether it be Sunday school teachers out there or kids ministers, kids evangelists. You know, I feel like there's always kind of a balance that we need to keep between entertaining and ministering. Because, you know, we want there to be somewhat of an entertainment. You know, we want them to have fun and to be engaged. But we're there to minister. We're there for spiritual application. So just kind of give us some information about that. How can we keep that balance between entertaining but yet ministering at the same time?
Sure. That's actually a really good question. I get asked a lot, you know, because like you've seen us, I think, come into services before, and we don't just bring just a little bit of props with us. We come with a full set, and we put it up on the platform, and we have these flashing lights and all this kind of stuff going on. But they ask all the time, you know, isn't that more entertaining than it is, you know, ministering? And I'm like, well, Hollywood has raised the bar so high on entertainment these days that, you know, we have to, at a level, be entertaining. We can't just come in and preach to kids like a pastor will get up and preach to adults on any given Sunday. We have to, you know, I don't like to say that it's entertaining, but it has to be. We have to give the kids, and especially bus kids, a reason to want to get up on a Sunday morning, get dressed, and go out and catch the bus. You know, most of the time, mom and dad's not bringing them. They're coming because they've been invited and they've been told that they're going to have all this kind of fun. And mom and dad, you know, they may be recovering from a drunken stupor somewhere and not even going to get up and get undressed. So it's up to them to get themselves up out of bed and to go out to that bus and go to church. So what are we giving them when they get there? You know?
Yeah.
If I've been to churches to where they'll bring them in, they'll watch a VeggieTales video and eat animal crackers. You know, and if that's what we're giving them, we've missed our mark.
Right.
We've got to give them some reason to want to get up and to go to church. You know, and if we don't give it to them, maybe the secular church down the road will. You know, maybe the denominational church down the road will. You know, they play Xbox or all from a bicycle or something. We've got to give them a reason to want to come on a Sunday morning when mom and dad's not going to get them up and bring them. So, you know, we may not ever be able to compete with, you know, the Disney Channel or Xbox or, you know, even a Justin Bieber concert, but what we do have to offer the kids is an anointing that Hollywood cannot offer. And that is one thing that we have to do. And if it requires us to entertain at a level, then so be it.
That's good. That's good. And you know, I think, you know, to kind of tag along with that, you know, it's a pretty old saying that we hear a lot and say, but I think it applies to kids ministry. And it really goes with, you know, you get what you preach, you know. And so I believe that, yes, you know, through the lights and the puppets and the videos and all of that, you know, at the end, you know, what are we preaching? What are we gearing towards, you know, at the end of all of that, you know, what is our message about, and what are we pointing the kids toward? You know, is it just them having fun and just kind of us killing time and babysitting? You know, I tell this to my, you know, I've told this to many people in seminars, that, you know, if all we do is just keep them entertained and, you know, hold them for, you know, an hour and a half, and, you know, and that's all that happens, is that they're just entertained the whole time. There's nothing that separates us, you know, from Chuck E. Cheese. We're doing the same thing that Chuck E. Cheese is doing, you know. But like what you said, it's the anointing that separates it. It's the anointing
that separates
it. It's
the anointing. And what you're doing when they come in there on a Sunday morning, you're instilling truth into your message. Every puppet song that we sing is a Christian song. Every lesson we do is got a gospel message. Every blacklight song, we do a lot of blacklight songs. I don't know if there's a lot of people out there that are into blacklight, but it's one good thing that we like to do, because when those puppets are up there singing and black light and all the other lights in the house are off, those kids are focused on one thing, and that's the puppets that are in the front glowing in the dark.
Yeah.
They're not looking around. They can't see what's going on to be distracted. And those puppets are up there, you know, presenting a message, and that message is getting hid in their heart.
I think that's key. I think that's key, that, you know, everything that we do needs to have a purpose, like you just said. And,
Absolutely. So that's
awesome. Well, Tim, thank you so much for being on the call tonight. Well, actually, the podcast tonight. It was a huge honor to have you. And I know, by the way, congratulations on becoming full-time in kids ministry. I think that's awesome. And I'll definitely, you know, we'll be praying for you and your family with that new endeavor. And real quick, just kind of give us a plug. How can, if a pastor or a kids pastor wants to get a hold of you to have you do a kids revival, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Oh, and again, thank you for allowing me to be on here, and we are looking forward to what God has got planned for us being full-time. So if you would like to book our ministry, they can reach us at godshandywork.org is our website. That's www.godshandywork, and handy has a Y in it, godshandywork.org, and our email information is on there. Our schedule for 2014, I'm about to put 2015 on there. You can look at references from different people who have booked us. So we have all that on our website at godshandywork.org.
Awesome. Awesome. So make sure you go check him out. Tim, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Our next speaker tonight is a good friend of mine, Kevin Merriman. He comes from the city of Lake Charles, Louisiana. And he has been a kids pastor since 1998. He's been in children's ministry total for more than 30 years. And he's been evangelizing, he's been evangelizing since 2005. And it's so good to work with, or to speak with my friend here tonight. Kevin, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Josh, so much. I greatly appreciate the opportunity. I love your burden for children's ministry. I love your burden to try to help as much as possible, and these podcasts have proven so effective in that, and I greatly appreciate the energy and the effort that you put into this.
Well, thank you, Kevin. That means a lot, and it's a true honor to have you on this call tonight, on this podcast tonight. Brother Kevin, one question that I like to ask a lot on this podcast, and the reason why I ask this is that, you know, I feel like there's so many different gifts and talents that people have, but one question I like to ask is, you know, how can we be more effective when praying with children? And, you know, I know sometimes our listeners might wonder why we ask that so much, but I think it's, number one, it's a topic, you know, that we can't really talk too much about, you know. And I've had the privilege to work with you and to see you work in the gifting, and I've seen you pray several children, you know, through to the Holy Ghost. And I know that at times, you know, it can be intimidating with praying with kids. And so just kind of share with us kind of your burden for kids ministry and the gifting that God's given you. And just kind of share your heart with, you know, with us about your burden for kids ministry and how that came to be. And just how can we be more effective when praying with children to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost?
I will say, Brother Josh, that it definitely is a gifting. There was a point where, early on, where I had the expectation, and I think I came across wrong in some seminars teaching, saying that, well, anybody can do this, just do this, but I've come to find out that, you know, that God does give us gifting in certain areas, and the, those that have a gift for children's ministry, well, they're just a step above, I believe, just because of the level of patience and energy that it takes. That said, I do think that just about anybody can pray someone through to the Holy Ghost. However, and you already made that statement, it is much more intimidating with children. We have to be so much more careful. They're easily distracted. They're easily put off. But not only that, they need a little bit more instruction. They need a little bit more guidance. And so praying with children to receive the Holy Ghost can be very intimidating. But in your question, you asked, how can we be more effective? I fervently believe the scripture that says this only comes about by much prayer and fasting. I never, whenever we go to a service, I always meet with those that are going to pray in the altar with us and stress the fact that when you go in that altar service, you need to be make sure that you are totally clean, that you're not bringing your baggage and dumping it on these kids that are trying to pray and load them down with that. And, you know, I always tell them, you must repent. Before we walk in that altar, repent. Make sure you're cleaned up. And then, but also fasting and prayer. When someone schedules with us for a revival that's upcoming, 1 month before, we start fasting and praying, fasting one day a week, praying every day for that particular weekend, for those particular services, just because it's just not going to happen. Brother Tim mentioned that what sets us apart, what gives us the authority, is the anointing, and that only comes through prayer and fasting. And then the other thing is that we have to make sure that we give clear, concise instructions. Unfortunately, too many people that are working in children's ministry forget that they're talking to kids, and they sometimes talk over the kids. They don't make it plain and simple enough. Using big words, you know, that can impress our other team members, but that's not going to help the kids. And so if we make it clean and concise and words that they'll understand and on their level, I think that, you know, that's our part. And then the prayer gets the anointing, and that gets God's part. And of course, being clean when we walk into that altar.
Wow. Wow. That's some great, great insight that you've given us, Brother Kevin. And, you know, like you said, one thing that I believe that, you know, again, it comes to the old adage of, you know, you can't really lead someone to a place you've never been yourself, you know. And
yes, sir.
And hand in hand with kids ministry, that doesn't mean that we have to be perfect to work with kids at all. But, you know, are we striving to be like Christ? Are we striving in our walk with God? Are we moving forward in our walk with Christ? You know, because like you said, if I want a child to repent and have that spirit of repentance, but if I'm, you know, dealing with things and I'm holding on to things, you know, that's going to be a hindrance to that child.
That's correct.
That's very good. Kevin, I know that, again, I've had the privilege to work with you, and I've seen you work with your family and with other team members, and you're just one of those guys where you just know how to you know, you realize that it's not just you, and you know how to work a team and empower other people, and you know, in working in kids ministry. And we all know, anyone who works in kids ministry, that it's a team effort. You know, I always say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a huge kids ministry team to, you know, save a child, you know. And so just kind of give us some tidbits, just some pointers on how can we develop an effective kids ministry team, or, you know, even if it's in kids church, how do we develop a team that you know, can kind of carry the load in our kids church and be effective in a way to where, you know, everyone is working under one vision and one purpose, and everyone is effective in their own role. So just give us some insight on that. How can we develop an effective kids ministry team?
Well, Brother Josh, having been children's pastor since 1998 in one location, it has helped. to have the opportunity to practice a lot of things that don't work and, you know, and discard that and continue to refine and to get better. I have found that probably the number one thing in developing a children's ministry team that is effective was to, first of all, to have something that is successful. People want to be a part of something that's successful. If it's not growing and showing success, then, you know, they're not going to want to invest their energies into that. And so the first part was to be successful, and that took a lot of hard work on one or two that I was able to get to go along with me at the beginning. But then once we got that success and got it to where people are wanting to be a part, the next thing that I did was to make it exclusive. Someone come up, hey, I want to be a part of children's ministry. Well, I'm sorry. We don't do it that way. You're only allowed to be a part of children's ministry by invitation and at Eastwood. And so that makes it more valuable. And I find that my team members, they are given more value in that because they, you know, I mean, that's the way that they got on the team was by a personal invitation from me or from our children's ministry director. And it was only either one of us that would go to them and invite them to be a part of the ministry. And that was the only way that they got to be a part. And so then they're with that value, they recognize the sincerity that they need to have, the responsibility that it's not just something to fill in time, that they have to really, so they don't just, oh, well, I didn't show up. It's not that big of a deal. They take the ministry more serious that way. It's not just babysitting. It's ministry. You know, they have that understanding. And right. Then we also, when they do come on the team, the first thing they do is they sit down with myself and with the children's ministry director, and we have a meeting, and we go over a commitment agreement that they have to sign to be a part of the children's ministry team. And it's a one-year commitment, and in that commitment, there's, you know, that they're going to pray for the children's ministry every day, that they're going to fast one day a week for the children's ministry team. And none of that, you know, they've got to do other than that for their own personal, but that's what they're committing for children's ministry, to be a part of the ministry team there. Again, adding more value and helping them to understand how serious this is, that this isn't just a time filler and it's not a get out of hell free card. This is a ministry. This is a responsibility. That they're going to be required to any, you know, the different responsibilities, whatever their position is that they have agreed that they want to be a part of, the specific responsibilities that they have, who they are responsible to. They have for the weekend service, the Power Rage team, there's a coordinator that they're responsible to that person. And then they're also responsible to the children's ministry director who is over all the teams. And then they're responsible to the children's pastor, myself. And they're responsible to our pastor, Pastor Lopez. And so if they understand those that they're under authority to and who they're responsible to, it builds a structure and it builds a value that helps them to understand just how serious that, you know, that this endeavor really is. And through that, God has helped us. Currently, our staff is the last structure that the last meeting that we had, our staff is at 42 people that are praying every day for that ministry, that are fasting one day a week for that ministry. And all of that together has put it now. I will say this, we don't just we don't just work all the time. We have two Christmas parties a year. We have a Christmas party in December and then we have Christmas in July because it's kids ministry and we get to do fun stuff. And that's just for the staff. And, you know, we get together and we have a good time together, a fellowship. We also always take and go and get training somewhere. You typically, like a weekend conference or something like that, we'll find something that we can all go and the hotel's paid for and their meals are paid for. But it's a fun time of fellowship and learning. You know, just some of the things. And, you know, the training is a big part of that. You have to have training. If we're not continually learning, then we're going to get stagnant, and we're not going to be productive, and we're not going to be successful. And so, as a team, we're always every year we go to some training, and then we also have in-house training. We'll have a whole day of training seminars, things that I feel that, you know, we're needing some help in some areas, and we'll focus on that. So, altar working seminar once a year also. So, you know, I don't know. I hope that answers your question. Just some of the things that we've implemented and have found that actually help to build a successful team.
No, you haven't. I'll tell you this, Kevin, you've convicted about me and probably every other kids pastor that's listening right now, because, you know, it's such a habit as, you know, kids ministry, because kids ministry is such a unique ministry. And, you know, it's such a habit, if we're not careful, to just kind of find any warm body that can just, you know, help us out, you know, because sometimes we're just kind of scraping, you know, and just looking for volunteers. And so, you know, your whole vision of and your method of putting value on being in the kids ministry and really kind of going through when people go through that process of, hey, this is serious business. You know, that's what you're letting people know, that, you know, when you're part of this kids ministry, you know, this is not just a babysitting club. You know, this is not just, you know, I love what you said, get out of hell free card. You know, that's awesome. And I think that's important, because what it does is it sets the standard from the very beginning. And it sets the standard, you know, that, hey, once you enter into this kids ministry, this is a commitment. And, you know, this is a serious thing, because we're, you know, I always try to tell my team and I try to tell people that what we're doing is we are literally, you know, we have the future of the church in our hands, you know, and when you think about that, that's pretty intimidating, you know, it can be intimidating. It doesn't have to be, but it comes across, you know, with that seriousness of, yeah, we're going to have fun and we're going to be a team together and we're going to have a good time. But on the flip side of that, you know, it requires a commitment. And so you've just given us some great stuff. I know myself personally, I'm going to go back over what you said and listen to some of the things that you do. I love that Christmas in July idea. That's awesome. That's great. And that'll make everyone want to be in kids' church, you know, be in the
kids'
ministry.
That's right.
So
twice a year, yes.
Now, do you do presents too with that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we sure do.
That's a great idea.
We put up a Christmas tree and everything.
Oh, man.
Have Christmas music playing. You know, last year, 2014, in July, we had a sweater. Everybody had to wear the silly sweater deal, you know.
Yeah.
In July, which it was, you know, in Louisiana, that was a...
That was torturous.
We will not be doing that again.
Yeah. Almost like, let's just do an ugly t-shirt party, right?
Yeah, just about. Exactly.
Yeah. That's great.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for being on the podcast tonight. And I know you two also are a traveling kids evangelist. So give us a website or number or whatever you feel comfortable with. How can someone get a hold of you if they would like for you to come to their church and minister?
Yes, sir. The easiest way would probably be the website, themerryman.com. That's Mary, MERRYMAN, themerryman.com. God gave me the perfect last name for children's ministry. So now it's Mary Mann Ministries, and you can just go there, phone numbers there, email, calendar, and just go there, and it's got, you know, of course, all the information and everything ready for you.
Awesome. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for being on the podcast, and also to go to 10. Thank you so much, guys, and I really appreciate the information that you've given to us tonight and the wisdom. And it's been an honor. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you again for listening to Kinetic Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until the next time, continue to check out our website for updates at kineticpodcast.com.